And welcome, friends, to this, the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live from our studios, which are found here at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And it is great to be with you on this Wednesday morning, friends, as we delve into our subject for this week on the Grace Hour, which is the subject of prayer, something that obviously is a part of each one of our lives as believers. And we are going to focus on this aspect of prayer today. What about our wants and our desires? Should we be praying for them? Is that something that should be a priority in our lives? Is it something that is of any interest to God? Is it something that has a capacity to take us out of the will of God? We're going to tackle these questions and many more on the Wednesday morning edition of our broadcast. We want to thank you so much for being with us today and joining us live. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And we also invite you to join us during the broadcast. The phone lines will be open. Quite simple. You get to a phone, dial one of the numbers that we'll give you, and participate in the broadcast with your comments, questions, perhaps even a testimony, as we hope to uncover and unfold some of the answers to the questions that we'll be posing today in our broadcast. Here are those telephone numbers if you'd like to join us. Toll free in all of North America, that number is 800-338-7060. Again, 800-338-7060. And the local number here in the Baltimore area, for those of you that would like to join us live as well, 410-483-3700. My name is Pastor John Love. Together with Pastor Barry Quirk, we'll be your hosts for today's Grace Hour broadcast. And again, looking forward to having you share your thoughts with us, either live as you join us by phone or on the chat that is now open and available for those of you that are listening and tuning in today. So share your comments that way. Ask your questions that way as well. Pastor Barry, I like this question that's been posed to us here that we'll hopefully be able to open up and explore together. The wants and desires of our hearts. Something should be that should be prayed for, something that should be brought before God. I remember as a young believer, single, one of my top priorities in prayer at that time was, Lord, I would like someone to walk this journey of faith with. Mm-hmm. I wanted a companion. I wanted a wife. I mean, I was perfectly content to start with a girlfriend.
Yep.
And work my way up to that status. But that was something that I remember bringing it before God on a consistent basis, because obviously, having been born again, I had a new life with God. The desires of my heart were changing, simply due to the fact that God gave us a new heart.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the desire and the needs that I had, I thought that they were legitimate. I thought that they were real. I thought that God would understand. But at the same time, I tempered those prayers by saying, God, you know, I want your will, not my will. Because I almost sensed that, well, what if giving you a companion would be a distraction?
Yeah.
What if you wanted that person more than you wanted me? What if it became an idol in your life? How would that impact your walk of faith? So these were all of the questions that I was exploring in my heart as a young believer. And, you know, as I look back, I see the faithfulness of God. It wasn't always a smooth ride, but it was. I found in my own experience that these were legitimate requests to bring before God.
Yeah, and I would say, Pastor Love, you know, these are probably on the top 10 survey list. You know, when you ask any new believer, what are the things you're praying for? You know, companionship is right up there at the top, I would say.
Yeah.
But it begs to ask the question, you know, especially as a new believer, do I even know what I need in a companion? And I think this is what you were just saying, is that, you know, we have a desire. And let's face it, God created us with that desire. This isn't something that's, you know, we're sworn to life of celibacy as a believer. As a matter of fact, God takes pleasure in having a godly marriage, right? And somebody who, but the key is that it's in God's timing, right? Not in our timing, which is a huge factor. I think that a lot of times we're not even mature enough to understand what God's timing is until we experience it.
True.
And then we say, oh, I understand why, you know, and how about this fact that God's a lot smarter than we are,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
We think we know what we need. And this is my personal experience that I actually had a very healthy relationship in Bible college and thought this is the way it's supposed to go. And, you know, everything was formed around my outreach and ministry and gave it time and went on the mission field and thought this is going to be the perfect relationship, only to see it stop. To see God snuff it out and really have a lot of disappointment and heartbreak. And yet, a short time later, it became very clear to me why that happened. You know, I had a relationship, which now my wife of 31 years, and I can say that God was so much smarter than I was, you know, and that I didn't even know there were needs and companionship issues that needed to be met that I wasn't even aware were there.
Yeah.
However, God in his eternal purpose is very aware of what I need. And I guess the question is, do I trust him?
Yeah, it does come down to that, doesn't it?
I
think that as we're talking about this subject, it comes to my mind that when we enter into the presence of God, someone has suggested that we might be more grateful for the prayers that were not answered.
Exactly.
Rather than for the ones that were answered.
Yes.
Because, you know, as you said, and it goes back to, you know, the deceitfulness of our own hearts.
Yeah.
We think, here we are, we think, I know best for myself. Who knows better than what I want and what I need than I do? And the answer would be, God does.
Yeah, exactly.
And are we willing to yield ourselves to him? Are we willing to say, you know what, I'll let you make those choices. I'll let you make those decisions. Now, when you say that, you have some believers saying, well, what does that mean? You know, I'll let God choose for me. How's God going to choose for me? Don't I have to make my own decisions? Don't I have to exercise my own volition? And the answer is, of course you do. But I guess it goes back to this question. Can God speak clearly enough to us so that a willing soul can hear him?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the question to that is God can and does. The more maybe focused question is, can I get out of my doldrums enough to understand what God is saying? And I think the key to it is probably where we're headed in this discussion. And first of all, we know that Jeremiah 17:9 says that our heart is deceitful. You just mentioned it. It's deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. And who can know it? I don't even know what is hidden in the intents of my heart, right? And a lot of times we can disguise good intentions, you know, or good intentions will disguise what's really truly an evil motive. And I don't even know sometimes my motives can betray me because it is so deceitful. And I would say, you know, putting ourselves in the light of God and saying, search me, Lord, know me, take out impure motives, and I think God is faithful to do that. So that's a huge part. The other part is Psalm 37:4, right, which really says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, I think the key there is, and a lot of people say, oh, God, they hear, God's going to give me the desires of my heart. Well, God's purpose in that principle is not that he would provide our appetites of the flesh with something to be satisfied in, because as we know, those are never really truly satisfied. But he's looking to renew the sanctified call, you know, the sanctified person that that he really wants to give us when we delight in the Lord. He wants to give us satisfaction that is not going to fade away. And really, I don't think we can even know what that need for satisfying is until we place ourselves in the hands of God and say, God, I don't even know where this is going, but I know that you have me directed, and in that you have a provision. And then when we experience it, we say, whoa, this is so much better than I could have ever asked or thought.
Mm-hmm. It really, we're talking about the journey of faith here. Mm-hmm. That's essential because without faith, we can't please God. And faith has to be integrated to every part of our lives. You know, the workplace, the classroom,
yeah.
The occupation or the vocation, yep. the relationships that we have. If faith is not integrated in all of these areas, then, you know, we're kind of headed for some problems. You mentioned about the deceitfulness of our hearts. And, of course, we understand and we're acknowledging now that when we came to Christ and were born again, we got a new heart.
Yes.
Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, mm-hmm. God says, I'm going to give you a new heart, a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new way of deciding. But yet in James chapter 4, James, this, of course, was the half-brother of Jesus who wrote these words. He said in verse 2, he said, you have not because you ask not. And so, again, when you hear that, you think, okay, then I'll ask.
Yes.
If that's God's way of inviting me to ask, I'm asking. Then he says in verse 3, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss mm-hmm. that you may consume it upon your lusts. So there is an example of someone saying, all right, God, you told me to ask. I'm asking. This is what I want. God might step in at that point and say, I understand this is what you want, but that is not what you need.
Yes, big key right there.
Yeah, and I'm going to direct you in the path of this journey of faith for the things that you need to please me, to know me, to keep fueling that walk of faith, which is so necessary in our lives because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith.
Yeah, and I mean, as a child, when we're growing up and we ask our parents for things, they don't just give us everything we ask for, you know. Otherwise, we'd all have unicorns and pet horses and a room full of candy. And, you know, like, these are not things that are helpful to us in our lives, right?
But they have a Ferrari at the age of 15.
And a Ferrari, yeah, that's definitely not helpful. But, you know, like we in our limited capacity think we know what we want or need and why it would satisfy us, right? But truly, the adult in the room says, that's not what you need. Trust me, one day you'll understand. Mm. If I gave you that, I would not be loving you. I would be doing you a disservice. And I think the bigger picture here being that God knows in his, you know, in his eternal viewpoint what we need. And really wants to give us. Now, I like what you said about a faith journey and that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right now, we have to look at the second part of that, which is Hebrews 11:6, that yes, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, actually, he says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Right? So it comes down to, do I believe that God really is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Now, does he reward us with things that satisfy the flesh? Of course not, because his interest is not in satisfying our flesh. But when we diligently seek him, we're not living in the flesh anymore. We're living in what would make our lives satisfying in truth, in reality. Because as we know, the devil has a big lie for all of us. You know, he tells us things that we would, wow, I'd be happy if I had that relationship. I'd be happy if I had that Ferrari. I'd be happy if I was in that vacation home, you know, Facebook or all these other social media places where people just, you know, flaunt what they're doing like it's the greatest thing on earth and other people are jealous and, you know, and I'm not, there may be a place for Facebook or any of these things, but I'm just saying that what is the jealousy that goes on or the likes and dislikes and am I favored, am I not favored? And really, those things are not reality. Reality is when I wake up in the morning, do I sense in my heart that I have purpose? And do I sense in my heart that I'm loved? And that I have safety and security in my life? And really, those things come from having a relationship with God that says, delight in me, and I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. You may not even know what those desires of your heart are, but I'm going to answer them in a way that you will experience and know. Mm.
It's such a beautiful promise that you mentioned. Psalm 37, verse 4. I've heard one translation put it this way. Enjoy serving God, and he'll give you what you want. Mm. Again, that is according to the new heart. Mm-hmm. For someone to expect as a believer that God's going to give you something illegitimately or something that's going to hurt you, something that's going to hinder your faith. Just remove that thought from your mind, because that's not how God operates.
Yeah, why would he?
Yeah, it's not consistent with his nature. There's a classic example in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 13, and just a little background for our listeners. This is when Abram and his nephew Lot were together. And then this great the friction arose between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. And people have to remember that these men, they traveled in huge caravans at this time when this scripture was written. So the strife continues. They are not able to stay together. And Abram says to Lot, listen, you choose first,
right,
which he should not have even given him that option, because it would have been Lot that said to Abram, your choice. You know, you're the elder. You're the one that God's called. I'm just tagging along.
Yeah.
So you choose. But Abram said, no, you choose. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And then Lot made this horrific decision. He lifted up his eyes in Genesis 13:10. Behold, the plains of Jordan, well-watered everywhere. That was before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like the Garden of Eden. And so he says, that's my choice. He made a choice based upon sight. And then Abram, well, you know, he made his choice. The Lord said to him, and it really wasn't his choice, it was God's choice.
Right.
The Lord said unto him, after Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes, look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. All the land which you see, to thee I will give, and to your seed forever. Did Abram get ripped off by God? Did Abram regret the decision he made to give Lot the choice?
No.
Abram's real decision was, I'm not even choosing for myself. I'm giving God that option.
Wow.
What a great decision he made.
Yes. And that's what we're talking about here today, that God is not somebody who's out to get us or to pull a fast one on us. Or if you agree to this principle, you might think you're getting one thing, but I'm going to pull the rug out from underneath you and give you something else. It's quite the opposite. We have such a minimal expectation of what God is doing when he asks us to give him our trust, and we get something that's so much above what we could have ever even imagined in that situation. And, you know, I think about Acts chapter 3 and the man who's at the gate beautiful, and he's out there looking for alms on a daily basis, and you know, the day that he's there looking for his daily bread really is what he's doing. Give me some money so I can eat. And he meets Peter and John, and they fasten their eyes upon him, and they say, hey, listen, we don't have any of that silver and gold for you, but such as I have, I'm going to give to you, right? And then he says, rise up. And the man is healed. He's not only given his, you know, a provision for just that moment, but his provision is restored. He can actually go and provide for himself. Because God had an expectation, or God had a response to something that was so much bigger than his little expectation. And I think you could see, you know, in humility, Abram, who makes this decision, has a great trust for God.
Yeah.
And Lot, who wanted what was best for himself, had a great trust for himself.
Yeah.
I have to provide for myself. And that's the big difference. Delight in your flesh, ask in your flesh, you're not going to receive something that's going to satisfy you truly. Ask in the Spirit, ask in God's mind, and you're going to receive above and beyond what you could even think.
Yeah. It's just how God operates in our lives.
Yeah.
I guess the critical turning point in the life of the believer is, will I give God that choice?
Yes.
Will I yield myself in a manner that says, in effect, I'm giving that option to God. I'm not choosing it for myself.
Yeah,
you kind of hit the maturity barrier and maybe even break
time.
Through it
yeah.
when you reach that point in your life.
For sure. And I mean, it's a little scary.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you take the training wheels off the bike for the first time, you're pedaling like crazy, but it's not because, look, I can do this. It's because, oh my gosh, I'm going to fall. But really, our experience is when we trust God in the details of life and we see him, you know, time after time come through faithfully, we start to understand, no, he's got our best interest all the time, not just when it looks good or it feels good. Actually, I like this portion in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 4. You know, it says something that seems simple. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You know, and we think about it, really what is he's saying there is love him supremely, right? Enthrone him with your heart's desire, really. And then as they do, something really interesting happens. It's kind of a paradox that that initially that the thirst for their hearts, which is filled with grace and is satisfied by an immediate response from God, ends up in time getting satisfied even more and more with deeper and more intimacy with God. At the time, they don't even know what they're asking. But when they ask, you know, he gives them more and more. And there's a few examples that I was reading about this. David says in Psalm 27:4, "One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." You know, one thing, and this is a man with authority. This is a man with, you know, he was the king. He could have asked of all sorts of things. And what is the one thing that he really wants? He wants to dwell in the house of the Lord and to gaze upon him, which is really very telling. And then in Psalm 63:1-4, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. And as in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live." And there are several other examples. But the point here is, you know, I am pointing to God because his satisfaction is lasting and eternal, and I will spend the best part of my days of my life looking for him because it's worth it.
Yeah. And as you shared earlier how that it's God's heart to give us those things that would enhance our faith and deepen our relationship with him.
Yes.
And I'm just so grateful that, you know, God is not a man. The book of Numbers brings this out, that he should lie, mm-hmm. neither the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. And I'm thinking of Jacob with his uncle, Laban. I mean, Jacob is a deceitful kind of guy. Little did he know that his uncle Laban was just as deceitful, and perhaps even more so.
Yeah.
So he works out a deal with his uncle, and this is while he's kind of on the run from his family and from God himself, and says, "Listen, I see your daughter, Rachel. She's beautiful. I've just got to marry her." Okay, Laban says, "In order for that to happen, you got to work for me for 7 years." And Laban's like, "You know what? She's so beautiful. She's wonderful. She's worth it. I'll do it." 7 years he labors waiting for Rachel. And on the wedding night, you know, he comes into the chamber, and who's there? It's not Rachel. It's Leah. It's her sister. And Jacob is like, "What just happened?" But, you know, God doesn't operate like that.
Right.
Of course, Laban said, "Well, we'll have to, all right, you want my other daughter, Rachel?" "Yes, that was the one I originally wanted." 7 more years. Okay. God doesn't operate like that.
No.
He's not going to, as you said, string us along, you know, play the role of the puppeteer, you know. He's not trying to hurt us, harm us, you know, set us back. He wants to give us good gifts. I think of Psalm 84, verse 10. Which says, I think it's verse 11, "No good thing." First of all, it says he will give grace and glory, but no good thing will the Lord withhold from him who walks uprightly.
Yes.
Is it good? Is it going to bless you? Is it going to deepen your relationship with God? Is it going to help you to develop the person God intended for you to be? God says, "I'm going to give it to you."
That's beautiful. And you think about our lives, like we are all about, building exclusive clubs that only the real membership can get to the true blessing, right? And it really is designed to be the more exclusive, the more challenging, the more expensive, the more, you know, and our human nature is, I want to be in that club. I want to be the one that can go to the top floor and have the elite status and, you know, experience the things that only the wealthy can experience. And God is saying, like, listen, bottom level, entry level, you get in the door here, you got everything that I have at my disposal is yours, right? And this is what you were just saying. He's not a guy who withholds something that's good from us. As a matter of fact, every gift that we get is from above.
Yes.
Really, every good gift is from above. And you know, we think about this, the picture of kind of the used car salesman that, you know, we look at this beautiful body of an automobile and then you turn the key after you've driven off the lot and it's a clunker. This is the exact opposite of how God operates. You know, we think, oh, we've got a pretty good thing going here, and we don't even realize that it's so far above what we even expected. Mm-hmm. And this is really why the trust issue is so important, because if we don't trust the character of God to take care of us in a way that's going to benefit us through his viewpoint, then we're not going to place our trust in God.
That's right.
But if we can't trust God, we have to ask ourselves, what are we trying to preserve? And many times I don't want to yield to God because I have a personal desire to see something that's beneficial to me. And I know if I yield to God, I might lose that fleshly ambition. But really, the satisfaction in the flesh, it pales so much in comparison to what the walk with God does in the first place. And he knows that. He says, look, you're stuck in that little temporary ambition. Like in the case of Lot, you want that little piece of land, you get it. Go for it. But guess what? Here's Abram.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a different, yeah, and it's something totally different.
That's why I think we love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know,
yes.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart.
Yes.
And everything that's in it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're also told in the book of Proverbs to guard our hearts and keep them with all diligence, because out of them come the issues of life. And that is so true. Mm-hmm. Because some believers would say, well, you know, these are issues that maybe I'm responsible for.
Yeah.
You know? This is a part of my life that God is not – he's out there taking care of the galaxy. I don't think that he's interested in who the girl I'm going to date is, or, you know, how that relationship will develop and what direction it will go. Come on. Yes, he is.
He is interested.
He wants us to trust him with everything, right? Our finance,
yes.
You know, our wardrobe, you know, our occupation, our relationships, our family, everything. Even our children. We have children. We sometimes think that they're our children. They're not our children. They're on loan to us from God.
Yeah.
We're just kind of like caretakers for a short period of time.
Yeah.
But that's why we have the responsibility to nurture them in the Lord and to see them grow up in their faith.
Mm.
So that principle of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 is so crucial. You know, Jesus gave us a pretty good outline here in the Sermon on the Mount when he was addressing the subject of prayer. Matthew 7, verse 7, he said, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. Everyone that asks, receives. He that seeks, finds. To him that knocks, it shall be opened.
Mm.
Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?
Yeah.
Doesn't that kind of sum it all up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the character of and the nature of God is on display. And do I trust that? Do I trust that God really has my best interests at stake? And, you know, the funny thing is that we spend our whole lives trying to give ourselves advantage and gain, and in the process we lose and die, right? But God just says, look, lose and die to your own desires, and I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. I'm going to go, you know, in a direction that you maybe don't even have the capacity to go to. But if you trust me, then you're going to experience that. And, you know, this is Philippians 4:6, right? This is Philippians 4:6. It's be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts in mind through Christ Jesus. There's nothing better than having peace. You know, how many times do we lie down in our beds at night and maybe a situation is troubling us and it affects our sleep. We don't sleep well. We're rolling, tossing, and turning because even subconsciously there's something bothering me. And, you know, this is the saints of God sleep well. We might not have everything that the world tells us we need, you know, but boy, we have something that they don't even understand. And it causes us really to have peace that passes understanding. And I think one of the questions that was asked here is, you know, how do I know when I'm praying for the desires of my heart? Am I praying for the desires of my fleshly heart or of my spiritual heart? Well, if I honestly am asking the question of my flesh, and I know that it doesn't involve yielding to God for the answer, then the answer is I'm asking for my flesh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So really, the peace that God gives to us, the understanding that God gives to us by placing our trust in Him, and it does require us to die to ourselves a little bit and to say, I'm not going to choose what I want, because I don't even know if what I want is the right thing or not. But I'm going to choose to think with what God wants and watch what He gives me, and I'll know for sure, without question, that it's the right thing.
Amen. Friends, you can join us. Well, the phone lines are open. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number throughout all of North America. And locally here in the Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. Some of you may even have a testimony that you could share with our listeners and with those of us here in the studio, and say, look, I committed myself to God. I have learned what it means to trust Him with all my heart, and I have seen Him come through and meet the needs of my heart. Let's move on to a question that hits home to all of us personally, Pastor Barry. We've exercised our souls this way. The question is, okay, does it work? We delighted ourselves in the Lord.
Yeah.
We put God first. You can say it any way you want to. We've made Him and His kingdom a priority in Matthew 6:33.
Mm-hmm.
How's it worked out? I mean, how's it worked out?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for us on our daily basis, we can tell you that we drive around with great peace in our hearts. Our souls are not disquieted within us. You know, I think about that sometimes, that, you know, we could be troubled about something, and the troubles that I have generally are, I don't have the answer to something, and it brings me to a place where I have to give that to God, and then I get peace in my soul. So how's it worked out? I don't know. We've sought first the kingdom of God, right? And He's given it unto us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. We have a life with a purpose and a direction, and we know where we're going. And does it have challenges? Of course it does, because we're still human beings and we still lack faith in things sometimes. You know, how many times do we know without equivocation, if we sat down and said, is God capable of answering your prayer? As theologians, we would say, of course He is, because He says that He will answer your prayer and trust in Him. Proverbs 3:5-6. As human beings, we're like, I don't know if He's angry with me today or doesn't like me, or, you know, we talked about this morning in our devotional with our staff that thou worm Jacob, you know, and David, the murderer, they were called the apple of God's eye. You know, Jacob is wandering about in the wilderness, and God says, you know, that's the apple of my eye. And do we see ourselves that way? Do we wake up in the morning and say, I'm the apple of God's eye? Because if we do, then it's working out pretty good for us, right?
Yeah.
It really is working out great for us. And yeah, do we experience the, you know, what the world would say is successful? Maybe not through their evaluation process, but there's two evaluation processes, one that perishes and one that doesn't perish. And this isn't cliche. Like, this isn't just something that we say to make ourselves feel good because we're not driving that Ferrari. But this is like the things that really matter to God, the things that really matter for eternal life are ours. They're freely ours. They've been given to us with full access. And so I would say it's working out pretty good.
Yeah. And I'm sure that all of our listeners who have made that decision to give God their choice in life,
yeah,
in every realm of life, would say the same thing. I mean, I can, my own experience, I just, you know, I ask myself that question often. Has God given you the desires of your heart?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is yes, He has.
Yeah.
I mean, I am, as you said, not only do we have that great peace that passes understanding, but there's a great sense of fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
and purpose that's being experienced and worked out in our lives on a day-by-day basis.
Yeah.
And when you find your you know how it's been described, living in the will of God for your life. We could even tack on the adjective perfect, the perfect will of God for your life. They said it's like being in the eye of the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
What's in the eye of the hurricane? A perfect calm.
Calmness, yeah.
A peace, yeah. A tranquility. And when you are in the will of God for your life, you're not out in the periphery, okay? Mm-hmm. You're not out where the storms are raging and the winds are churning. No, you're in the eye, and there's a peace. There's a tranquility. There's a satisfaction. There's a fulfillment.
Yeah.
There's a completeness that you sense when you say, look, my life, I have given my life to God. I presented my body as a living sacrifice. Mm. I'm yielding my members as instruments of righteousness.
Yeah.
I'm letting this mind, which was in Christ, be in me.
Mm-hmm.
All of that results in contentment, peace, satisfaction, and fulfillment.
Yeah, and I love the difference maybe between confidence that we have in Christ and cockiness that the world has in trying to build themselves up. So you're in the eye of that storm, and all around you, not only is it peripheral, but it's storming. I mean, there are cows flying around and cars getting tipped over and trees falling,
mm-hmm.
and we're in the midst of that storm, but we're safe in the arms of God, number one. But also we're content, and because of that, we have great confidence. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. This world is full of offense. You mm-hmm. can't walk around without offending or being offended by something or someone.
That's right.
So how about, you know, that we're in the middle of the storm, but we are completely content with God, and then he allows us to go through the storm sometimes. You know,
yes.
He puts us through that storm.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not saying that we're never going to face those challenges as believers. Actually, we were never promised a rose garden, you know. There's a lot of thorns in the lives that we walk.
That's right.
But the point is, in the midst of it, we're trusting God. And rather than saying, God, take me out of the storm, take me out of the storm, we say, take me through the storm. I know you have a purpose in this. Take me through to the other side, that all of this dross can be burnt off, that I might have a better reflection of who you are.
Mm.
Lord, help me. Help me to understand this. And there's just godly confidence. You know, you said that I have a sense of purpose. I understand it. It's beautiful, you know, and I can totally relate to that. Now,
yeah.
People spend their whole lives trying to reach something or get something that will satisfy them. And even when they get to the very top, they're empty.
Yeah.
You know, so you've seen these athletes that lift the trophy, the final trophy, and you think they're going to be satisfied, and then they end up, you know, broke or empty, or, you know, their lives are just not what they thought they would be. And here we are in sort of a humble experience in one way, but with incredible life, and we're just enjoying it and saying, this is the life. I mean, honestly, this is the life, you know. And we've heard recently the Harbaugh saying, who's got it better than us, you know?
And nobody.
Nobody. But really, we can say that genuinely.
Yeah,
we can say that
absolutely.
Genuinely. And it's not just, you know, we're trying to make a trite statement for ourselves. This is truth. We have satisfying relationships. God sees us and has given us a place. Mm. We're stretched beyond what our natural capacities should let us do.
Mm-hmm.
And God's in it. It's just amazing.
Sure is. Well, friends, you still have time to reach out to us if you'd like to. 800-338-7060. And locally in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Still have a few minutes left. We could take your call if you get to us quickly. What if the believer says, this is what I want, and I'm going to ask God because that's what the Christian's supposed to do. But it's what I want, and frankly, even if God says no, I'm going to go after it anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Would God say, all right, go ahead?
I mean, does God give us logistical grace sometimes?
Yeah.
I think he really does.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the end of that, usually there's a great fall,
mm-hmm.
right? So,
yeah.
So okay, you ask. You're like the persistent child. I think of the story when my daughter was a little girl and we were at the beach, and I think it was her birthday or something, and I can't remember exactly, but she wanted candy. And we had given her some candy as a present, but to be meted out over time. And well, she wanted it. She wanted it. I want more. No, you can't have more. Okay, you want more candy? Fine. Eat more candy. And the next thing you know, that she's vomiting because she ate too much candy.
Mm-hmm.
But she got what she wanted. Yep. And what was the result?
Illness.
Yeah, it really wasn't what it was cracked up to be. And I think for sure we can manipulate our way through the plan of God.
Yeah.
And we can put ourselves, and this is, again, going back to my heart is wicked, right? I do have a new heart. I do have a new heart and a new spirit, but I don't always operate in it. Sometimes I operate in that old heart and that old spirit, and I look for something that's going to satisfy that. And that's why, as Christians, when we experience the fruit of some decision in our lives, do we experience joy and peace, or do we experience trouble and guilt?
Yeah.
We know. I know right away when I've accomplished something, and it's over. Yeah, I did it, and then it's like, ooh, I don't really feel the peace of God in that decision.
Yeah,
I feel trouble. So,
and some of those decisions can lead to some serious heartache.
They really can.
But the grace of God can step in even then.
Yes,
where bad decisions were made, where we were so determined to get what we wanted, even if God stood in front of us and said, "Don't do this," we're going to do it anyhow. We become so subjective in our thinking that even when God speaks objectively, we're not ready to hear it. We don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
But even then, God can say, look, now I'm going to teach you something.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can learn from this experience. That's why failure never has to be final in the life of the believer.
That's
because God says, now you can mine that experience and draw something precious out of it. Mm-hmm. So God is just so good to do that. I just think of the children of Israel. They get so sick and tired of manna on the menu every single day. Same menu, same item on the menu. It's manna. Finally, they said, you know what? We need some meat. Mm. We need some quail. And they just, you know, they weren't grateful any longer. They didn't realize that God had supernaturally provided for them during their wilderness journeys. And they just said, we're tired of this. This is what we want. And God says, okay, you want it. You're asking for it. You'll get it. And you'll have it until it comes out of your nostrils. And of course, same thing happened
with
what you just described with your daughter. They just realized, wow, maybe we should just let God lead us.
Yes.
Maybe we should just learn to trust him because he knows better for us and will choose better for us than we could know or choose for ourselves.
Yeah, God's ways are definitely not our ways. But I love that principle of reconciliation, of restoration, you know, that God, our bad decision or our pressing the matter to the point where he says, look, don't do that. Okay, you want to do that? Go ahead.
Mm.
I do it, and then I go, man, that was a bad decision.
Mm.
And he's not there saying, I told you so. You're a loser, and you can never come back. It's like, do you trust me now?
Yeah.
Do you trust me? Because actually, my entire intention in this was to preserve you from experiencing something that would not bring you true peace and happiness.
That's right.
And this is why we love our relationship with God. We've learned he's patient, he's kind, he's long-suffering. We make bad decision after bad decision, and he's there to pick us up and to meet us and to say, come on, let's go forward. And we're not living in all the bad decisions, right? What's in front of us?
Mm-hmm.
What's in front of us? And I get to know God in a new way.
That's right.
I experienced a greater degree of relationship sometimes when I've had to pick up my shoes, dust off my feet, and move forward.
Yeah, it's the nature and the experience of all of us. You know, whenever you ask someone who's gone through some deep waters, some troubled experiences, you know, what did you get out of it? And they tell you what they get out of it.
Yeah.
And they always say, how did you learn that? The hard way.
Yes.
Nobody ever says, I learned it the easy way.
Yeah, that's right.
It was the easiest thing I've ever done in my life.
No.
No, we all say the same thing. I learned it the hard way.
School
I made some
hard
poor
knocks.
Decisions.
Yep.
And I didn't trust God. I relied upon my flesh and my own ability to direct the course of my own life, and I ended up in a big mess.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, thank God he allows U-turns.
Wow.
And he does so at the cross.
Yeah.
You can turn around, go in his direction,
oh, man.
And he can take everything and somehow find a way to work it together for our good.
Yeah, that's true. And thank God he doesn't say, okay, you took that exit, tough luck, buddy. That's the direction you're going the rest of your life.
Ooh.
You know, what a challenging, harsh relationship that would be.
Yeah.
But he knows our propensity is to make those bad turns, and he does provide a way for us to come back, which is beautiful.
Amen. Well, friends, we're out of time, but thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. We've got another broadcast coming up a little less than 24 hours from now, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We hope that you'll tune in then for the next broadcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And until tomorrow, may God bless you.